The Catechetical Lectures of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, Lecture 22. This recording has been made by the Friends of the St. John of Damascus Orthodox Educational Initiative. For more information, please visit orthodoxlearninggoc.com. Catechetical Lecture 22. On the Body and Blood of Christ. Even of itself the teaching of the Blessed Paul is sufficient to give you a full assurance concerning those divine mysteries, of which, having been deemed worthy, you have become of the same body and blood with Christ. For you have just heard him say distinctly that our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." And having taken the cup and given thanks, he said, "Take, drink, this is my blood." Since then he himself declared and said of the bread, "This is my body," who shall dare to doubt any longer? And since he has himself affirmed and said, "This is my blood," who shall ever hesitate, saying that it is not his blood? He once in Cana of Galilee turned the water into wine akin to blood, and is it incredible that he should have turned wine into blood? When called to a bodily marriage, he miraculously wrought that wonderful work, and on the children of the bride chamber shall he not much rather be acknowledged to have bestowed the fruition of his body and blood? Wherefore, with full assurance, let us partake as of the body and blood of Christ, for in the figure of bread is given to you his body, and in the figure of wine his blood, that you, by partaking of the body and blood of Christ, may be made of the same body and the same blood with him. For thus we come to bear Christ in us, because his body and blood are distributed through our members. Thus it is that, according to the blessed Peter, we become partakers of the divine nature. Christ, on a certain occasion, discoursing with the Jews, said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." They, not having heard his saying in a spiritual sense, were offended and went back, supposing that he was inviting them to eat flesh. In the Old Testament also there was showbread, but this, as it belonged to the Old Testament, has come to an end. But in the New Testament there is bread of heaven and a cup of salvation, sanctifying soul and body. For as the bread corresponds to our body, so is the word appropriate to our soul. Consider, therefore, the bread and the wine not as bare elements, for they are, according to the Lord's declaration, the body and blood of Christ. For even though sense suggests this to you, yet let faith establish you. Judge not the matter from the taste, but from faith be fully assured without misgiving that the body and blood of Christ have been vouchsafed to you. Also the blessed David shall advise you the meaning of this saying, "You have prepared a table before me in the presence of them that afflict me." What he says is to this effect, "Before your coming, the evil spirits prepared a table for men, polluted and defiled and full of devilish influence. But since your coming, O Lord, you have prepared a table before me." When the man says to God, "You have prepared before me a table," what other does he indicate but that mystical and spiritual table which God has prepared for us over against, that is contrary and in opposition to the evil spirits? And very truly, for that had communion with devils, but this with God. "You have anointed my head with oil. With oil he anointed your head upon your forehead, for the seal which you have of God, that you may be made the engraving of the signet, holiness unto God. And your cup intoxicates me as very strong." You see that cup here spoken of, which Jesus took in his hands and gave thanks and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Therefore Solomon also, hinting at this grace, says in Ecclesiastes, "Come hither, eat your bread with joy," that is, the spiritual bread. "Come hither," he calls with the call to salvation and blessing, "and drink your wine with a merry heart," that is, the spiritual wine. "And let oil be poured out upon your head," you see, he alludes even to the mystic chrism, "and let your garments be always white, for the Lord is well pleased with your works. For before you came to baptism, your works were vanity of vanities. But now, having put off your old garments, and put on those which are spiritually white, you must be continually robed in white. Of course, we mean not this, that you are always to wear white raiment, but you must be clad in the garments that are truly white and shining and spiritual, that you may say with the blessed Isaiah, 'My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with a garment of salvation and put a robe of gladness around me.'" Having learned these things and been fully assured that the seeming bread is not bread, though sensible to taste, but the body of Christ, and that the seeming wine is not wine, though the taste will have it so, but the blood of Christ, and that of this David sung of old, saying, "And bread strengthens man's heart to make his face to shine with oil," strengthen your heart by partaking thereof as spiritual, and make the face of your soul to shine, and so having it unveiled with a pure conscience, may you reflect as a mirror the glory of the Lord, and proceed from glory to glory in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom be honor and might and glory for ever and ever. Amen. End of Lecture 22.